This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. A mortgage boycott. The headlines from CNN. China extends property loans at the fastest pace in 3 years as mortgage crisis spreads. When last we visited the People's Republic of China's mortgage boycott, reporting 70 cities now questioning the value of the investment of the individual homeowner, apartment owner, because the apartment is either not built or partially built or at this point unknown, and the money is in banks that will not return it, and the banks themselves are not trustworthy. So mortgage boycott. People stop paying their mortgages on unbuilt or vaguely built properties. That was last week. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill joins me. Gordon, an update on this. Is it 70 cities now? Do I have that number correct?
It was 70 cities last week, John. But in the middle of last week, the number jumped to 86, according to the South China Morning Post. We know that it's been spreading since then. So the number is probably higher than that 86 figure.
And that goes to the point, Gordon, that though the Chinese authorities, the Communist Party, tries to control information in China, everybody knows everything all the time. Otherwise, the crisis wouldn't have built from 70 to 86 to higher. They're all in communication, all these angry homeowners.
Yes. And in the absence of real information, rumors spread. And that's been the history of the People's Republic. So, no, they can't control the flow of information.
We welcome Ann Stevenson Yang, co-founder of J Capital Research Limited. She's the author of China Alone, The Emergence From and Pending Return to Isolation. On this topic, Ann has been reporting to us for years about the Chinese property bubble. Well, here it is. This is what a bubble looks like. Because the mortgage payments have stopped in many, many cities. And the puzzle here is the spin on this out of Hong Kong is that China's banking regulator is riding to the rescue, pledging to boost lending to help developers finish stalled properties. Well, what took them so long? Evergrande failed notoriously last year. So what is this riding to the rescue? What does that mean? Good evening to you.
Hi there. I mean, they sure want to make it look like they're in control of things, and they have boosted the amount of lending that's going to property developers. But what I'm wondering is, if you're a property developer and you've already taken the money for a given property and you've already spent it some other place, why would you take a new loan to complete it? So who's going to be taking those new loans for properties that are already paid for? And it is really interesting how quickly this has spread. My favorite thing was an investor call that Citibank China did, where in the morning there were like 52 properties that had mortgage strikes. In the afternoon, something like 80, and then the next morning 120. It was just rising every few hours.
And describe for me what it looks like from the point of view of the property owner. Do they have properties that they can take possession of and resell? Is it their property? If it doesn't exist, what is the status of the private enterprise?
Well, it's very typical in China to purchase a property 18 months to, up to 3 years before it's built. Because property in China is a speculative asset, you're betting on price appreciation, and what you don't really care about occupying it. You care about getting the property so that you can hold it for the future. So when the market all winds down, then everybody's like, damn, I'm sitting on this pile of bricks and I've already paid for it and I don't know what to do. And, it all started, as everything did, with Evergrande. People are looking around and they've bought these Evergrande properties that aren't complete. And they hear about how Evergrande is, in default and in trouble, and its CEO has resigned, and they're like, damn, I'm not going to pay for this.
Gordon, is this a crisis at the bank level, the banks that issued these mortgages, or is this a crisis at the central government level, the China National Bank?
I think primarily, John, it's a crisis at the property developers and in the property market itself. It's affecting the banks, and the banks right now are able to hold the line. But we know that the boycott is spreading. We also know that suppliers to property companies are now not paying their mortgages. So this is spread to an entirely different class of borrowers. And so Beijing has to be nervous that the banks will be affected sometime in the future. But at the moment, the banks are pretty much okay, from what we can tell.
You have a question for Anne.
And you talked about the speculative nature of property acquisition, especially these flats. It strikes me that although the central government or provincial governments can announce patches, like, for instance, this lending spree, it seems that the fundamental problem is the property values are well in excess of where they should be. What are your comments about property values in terms of where the market should be?
Well, I mean, it's been a massive speculative bubble. People don't buy. I mean, as you can tell from the fact that 15% of the population owns more than three units, and the top 1% of the population, each of them probably own, 20 units or so. So, clearly this is not something that you buy in order to move into. And the property values, if people in Beijing and Shenzhen and Shanghai had the ability to buy properties in London or New York, clearly they would do that. You're going to buy in a distant suburb of Shenzhen, you're going to pay, $3 million to buy some, crappy apartment. No, if you had the option, then you wouldn't do that. But in China, your money's trapped. So you just keep on, speculating on this asset.
And is what's happening now a surprise, or was this inevitable? And that's what we've been observing for years. What you say is a Ponzi scheme with Chinese characteristics.
Yeah, it was always going to happen. The question has always been when and whether it can be halted and what the consequences are going to be. So as Gordon says, the banks, will still stand. The question is contagion. So mortgages themselves are not a huge portion of the bank's balance sheets, or let's say they can tolerate them. The question is, if your neighbor is not paying, are you going to pay? And if the if X project is not being built for lack of loans, then you, the cement supplier, you're not going to be supplying cement, so you're not going to pay your loan either. So the worry is contagion throughout the economy.
Gordon, you have a question.
And so what you're saying is because of the fundamentals, we now have an issue of just confidence. And it would seem to me that what's happening is there is a lack of confidence throughout the Chinese economy about its future direction. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I think that's correct, Gordon. That's, they made this Faustian bargain back in 2009 that they were really worried about the global financial crisis. And they decided, we're just going to invest in all this property and build ourselves. And then we're not going to be subject to that downturn. So that's what they did. And it's really sad. It's a hugely lost opportunity because they, built all these empty units when they could have made education, health, finance, travel, all of these things really much better for the Chinese people, and they didn't.
What's the significance of, you mentioned Evergrande, the report, China Evergrande Group said that its chief executive officer and finance head have resigned after a preliminary probe found their involvement in diverting loans secured by its publicly listed unit to that group. Is this more of the same? Evergrande is a badly run company with questions, or is this a shock that we're now looking at fraud?
It's hilarious, John. I mean, we've always known that Evergrande has a zillion small gray market lenders on the side, and it borrows money off the balance sheet, and it's way more leverage than it looks like. So this is just a little part of that. So the upshot is that they have $2 billion U.S. dollars, I believe it is, that they can't access, that they said that they had in hand, that they don't really. And that's just, that's just the beginning of Evergrande's problems.
Gordon, last year when Evergrande first became a major story, there was talk at the time that the government would have to take it over. That has not happened, or has it? Is this a shadow takeover?
It's a shadow takeover, John. What's happened is that localities have sometimes taken over Evergrande projects. Sometimes there have been other arrangements. they're just trying to get through with the patchwork. And so far, they're not succeeding.
And in continuing this, Anne, can they do it? Can the central government do it indefinitely? In other words, prop up failed enterprises and reassure the people at the same time there's nothing to worry about. Can they pull all that together with just by saying we're going to do this? That's what the report is. We're going to do this.
I mean, they're not going to recover or revive confidence among the people. The question is, what do you mean by pulling it off? So, you know, is the whole economy going to, or is the banking system going to crash and stop transacting? No, that's very unlikely. But is the economy going to shrivel and become, is China going to become much less important on the world scene? Yes, absolutely.
Anne Stephenson Yang, co-founder of J Capital Research Limited, author of China Alone, The Emergence From and Pending Return to Isolation. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.